Welcome to the Sad Fam Club, baby. You are enough. Hey, 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 hey.
Welcome to Sadcast, a podcast featuring stories, art, and design from Note Fun City. I'm your host, Becca Clarkson. So, we're 2 months into 2024, and I'm of two minds on how the year is going so far. I mean, February is full of duality, from the two teams battling for the Super Bowl championship to the Lunar New Year, bidding adieu to the rabbit and welcoming the dragon. There's helplessness amid two global conflicts, and hope as locals organize protests and rally for support. It's also Black History Month, a time to celebrate Black joy while acknowledging the history and prevalence of white supremacy. There's a lot of pressure and reason to keep learning right now, and art provides an avenue to do so in community with the potential for a little levity. That's one of the reasons why, in this episode, I wanted to highlight a Black drag king who's fairly new to the scene, though you'd never guess by seeing them perform.
We're pretending on stage to like dress up and be so confident and da 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 da, like we should have that confidence all the time. I hope that the more I learn, the more confident I can feel.
Their fresh take showcases how a wonderfully accepting community isn't without its flaws and the values of a little self-criticism in the pursuit of personal growth. Without further ado, I'll let them introduce themselves.
My human name is Ken. My drag name is Velvet Rider. I go by he, him pronouns in drag and they, them, she, her pronouns out of drag.
Ken is originally from Calgary, but recently moved from New Westminster to Vancouver. Their drag debut was at the end of July, which just so happens to be the start of Leo season.
You know, I'm a Leo, so I grew up performing for my family and friends and anybody who was around. So it just felt kind of right. And yeah, so I've only really been doing it since July. Moving to the West End was more like a strategic move. I was working out at UBC. Definitely is helpful now that I am performing more.
Do you remember your first performance? I guess it was only 6 months ago or so now.
I do very much remember my first performance. It was at a show called Magic Dykes, run by Skim. They are also a drag artist. And I performed the Thong Song by Cisco. Let me see that thong. And it was very much something I had like planned in my mind. I had props, I had like a whole thing. I think that feeling is the feeling that I always strive for every time I do a performance still, is like, it felt so good, it felt so right, it felt so fun. That first time, you know? I think I was more excited that time than nervous, and now I'm more nervous than excited.
Really?
Which is interesting, yeah.
Oh, what do you chalk that up to?
Maybe now I'm just like, I know what it's like, and I know that people have kind of expectations. Mm. Or maybe I hold myself to expectations that I don't need to, or whatever. I don't know. You know, I'm quite self-critical, but I think any artist is self-critical. We have to be. So, yeah, I think now I'm just like, okay, like, I did so good that one first time, so I have to, like, keep doing better and better and better.
When you say that artists have to be self-critical, what does that mean to you?
I think, like, you can listen to what other people have to say, obviously, and I think it's important to take critiques from outside and take it with a grain of salt, but like as an artist yourself, you know like what you want, and so you have to be aware of what you need to work on. And maybe that is like, I grew up an athlete, and that sounds very now I'm realizing that sounds like an athlete thing to say, but yeah, no, I think you have to be, like, super self-aware if you want to improve, know what you want to improve on, and, like, go from there.
What was your sport?
Basketball, yeah. Old b-ball.
So with Velvet Rider, how did you come up with that name?
My drag name, I'm going to be up in the air probably forever, I wanted something that was, like, smooth and sexy. And the person that, like, pushed me to get into drag, I wanted something that kind of, like, reminisced of their drag name, which was kind of, like, not a farm thing, but, like, a cowboy-esque type vibe. So that's where, like, the rider came in. And, yeah, I think I had a long list of, like, a bunch of different options. I did chat GBT or GPT or whatever.
Okay, I absolutely love the idea of using artificial intelligence for the power of drag. So I went to ChatGPT to try out some new drag names myself. Many, many years ago, I took the stage as a drag king named David Seductress. It's an homage to my favorite author, David Sedaris. While I don't plan on performing again anytime soon, I was still curious if AI could come up with a more fitting drag name for me. I told the bot about myself, probably too much actually. I said I'm from Vancouver but was born in Minneapolis. I'm a Virgo who works as a journalist and loves to dance, run, sing karaoke, and listen to Beyonce, in no particular order. Some of my least favorite names that ChatGPT came up with include Flawless Formation Frank and Raindrop Brick. I don't mind Carrie Karaoke, and River Atmospheric is kind of clever. My favorite is probably Pierogi Prince. But ultimately, I think David Seductress is still the winner.
Yeah, I don't know. I bounce back and forth. I'm like, he's okay. He's okay for now. The more I hear it, the more I'm like, all right, all right.
And what's his persona?
He's like suave. He's like kind of, I don't want to say kind of creepy. But he's like that guy that raises one eyebrow and like stares, you know? He's a character of the type of men that are like very, very bold, you know, maybe quite sure of themselves.
Is there a man you have, like, in mind? Like, is there a figure that you've passed in your life that you were like, that's the scuzz I want to be?
Yeah, I would say this man is every man that hit on me when I was a little kid. Like, this is every man that, like, made me feel uncomfortable as, like, a little girl, which is like odd to be like reclaiming that as like a drag persona. Obviously I'm not hitting on little kids or whatever, but I definitely and then as I grew up I found myself, you know, attracted to like guys who thought they were so cool at everything, you know, and I'm just like, ugh. But it's fun to be able to become that and portray it as a character who is funny and who makes people laugh and smile instead of making them feel uncomfortable. It's like really important for me to reclaim that safety. Yeah.
And it looks fun. Like I remember the first time I saw a drag king perform, I had like this feeling of jealousy. Mm. I was like, that looks so fun to just be like a misogynistic, confident being. Exactly. On stage. And yeah, there was... It's weird how that contrast and something that you've had to deal with negatively in your life can also be something that you're like, but what about my turn?
Yeah, no, I think that you just put it in great words. Also, I think it helps you kind of realize, like, you can claim some of that masculinity and bring it into your everyday life, because why not carry that kind of confidence around? Mm-hmm. You know, like, we're pretending on stage to, like, dress up and be so confident and... da 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 da. Like, we should have that confidence all the time. It shouldn't just be when we're performing.
Yeah, has your drag come off the stage with you and sort of impacted, I don't know, how you move in the world now?
Yeah, I definitely am, like, shy. I'm like, I come off the stage and people are like, you're so great. And I'm like, oh, thanks, shucks. Like, my drag persona, he's definitely a persona. I do strive to have confidence that, like, I have, or that he has under the spotlight. But, you know, we're working on it. I think it's, everybody's growing. And, like, I think I am growing in drag, but I also think I'm still growing out of drag very much. I have a lot to learn. And, like, I hope that the more I learn, the more confident I can feel.
I know you're sort of, you're emerging into Vancouver's drag king scene, but how has it welcomed you so far?
Oh my god. The drag king scene is maybe like the most tight-knit, I don't know, it's camaraderie. Like, we are pals and we support each other. And it's been so amazing to, like, do shows together, because usually you don't get to do shows with other drag kings. You'll have, like, one king in a show. So being able to, like, do a show with your friend is, like, unreal.
Skim, the drag artist Ken mentioned earlier, has actually produced a show called King Size for this very reason. It was launched in September of 2023 with the goal of highlighting drag kings and things, and includes a token drag queen in each show.
The idea of the token drag queen is just to emphasize that in most drag shows, you will have no kings or maybe one, and that is tokenism. So it's not supposed to be mean, it's just supposed to be fun, it's supposed to be lighthearted.
You can read more about King Size and the motives behind it on the Instagram page Skim Is King. Some of the hot tips for supporting drag kings include: 1. Using their right pronouns, since not all kings go by he, him, or they, them. 2. That producers introduce and uplift drag kings with thoughtful intros before they perform. 3. For audience members to come to see drag kings perform with open hearts and open minds, and to support them on stage as well as through social media. Finally, to performers, if you're in a show that didn't book a drag king, speak up and ask questions.
I'm biased because I am in the show often, but it's maybe like the funnest drag show. Kings, the reality is kings have to like put on a little bit more of a production than queens. Everybody loves drag queens. Drag queens can look absolutely stunning, walk out in a dress, stand in the middle of the stage and do a number and get tips, you know? People come up to them and give them tips. A drag king cannot do that. A drag king can look amazing, but they expect him to do tricks, to come out to you, to do something. Like, there's this expectation that, oh, you need more. You can't just look pretty. You're a king.
For better or worse, that's forced drag kings to get extra creative. And Velvet Rider has a few tricks up his sleeves.
I like to do reveals. That one, I have like a trench coat with a bunch of thongs.
I think I'm singing again.
And then I have like a magic trick where you pull one thong and it turns into 20 thongs and it just keeps pulling. And then I rip my pants off and I'm wearing...
That makes me wonder, did you buy all your thongs in one batch? Or...
So I did. I did buy a bulk Amazon order of thongs.
Okay. Oh, shoot. I was hoping to get, like, the reaction from the salesperson. Like, they were just like, here are my 30 thongs.
Yeah. Thank you. It was cheaper to go Amazon. I did throw in a couple of my own, unfortunately. And I... yeah. Lost. I threw one or two, maybe got lost, but that's fine.
So working magic with thongs was the first trick Velvet Rider performed. Another trick he's become known for? Making balloon animals while dressed in a hot dog costume and dancing to Who Let the Dogs Out. That performance is so iconic that a local artist who goes by Brick Queens YVR made a Lego replica of Velvet Rider in that outfit.
I am so honored that I got to be made. The hot dog is perfect. The face is hilarious. He's got like a big smile. And he even got a Lego balloon animal. That was a moment that I was like, oh, I made it. Okay, I'm done. I quit. Like, I'm done.
Obviously, Ken did not quit drag. If they did, it would be a loss for Vancouver's drag scene. While Velvet Rider is not the city's sole black king, his presence showcases the range of talent within the community.
I think that I do bring, that Velvet brings another kind of, I think I get to add like a little bit more diversity to our black drag community. Getting to perform more R&B songs and bringing that into like drag shows, I feel has been one of like my really impactful parts of becoming a drag artist. And I hope that doesn't sound like cocky, but that's what one of the things I wanted is going into drag, is to be able to bring black music into drag shows the right way. Because unfortunately, a lot of times black music is in drag shows and it's being performed by artists that are not necessarily black. But being able to like confidently perform Usher or songs about the black experience, I think is important as a black performer.
With February being Black History Month, Ken was invited to be a part of lots of shows that were centered around Black artists, including Acacia's Black Parade and Man Up's Blackout. To them, it didn't just feel like being in community. It felt like being in family. And Ken is challenging producers to create more of those experiences all year round.
I do want to say I would love for producers to be more open-minded when they're creating shows. I think you would be surprised at what audiences will react to and enjoy. I think you can have more than one person of color on a cast, and I think you can have more than one king on a cast, and it can still draw the same crowd and make the same money. And I think that that's something we should embrace, not just throughout like Black History Month or times where we're highlighting kings, but all the time, and just make it a more common practice and less of like a pointed example.
On top of wanting more representation, Ken is eager for more gigs since drag is basically their full-time job. But they also work behind the scenes at the Birdhouse, a queer and trans-run art space and venue near Olympic Village.
There will be some events that I am performing in also, where I'm also working.
Oh, that's hardcore.
It's okay. It's really fun. Like, I appreciate all the people I work with, and I appreciate the drag community. But yeah, it's definitely like, I'm not working a 9-to-5. I'm not working like a part-time at a cafe or anything. So I'm like, I'm going to do as many shows as I can so I can afford to go grocery shopping. Drag is expensive, especially if you want to go somewhere with it. For a lot of us, it's you go get your money. Mm. Especially as a king and especially as a Black performer, you take your gigs and you get your money, because there could be a month where I don't get booked for anything, just because that's just the month. It just happens to be what it is.
Have you found that you've gotten a lot more handy as well? Because I imagine if you're like ripping pants off, or like I've noticed there's a big gore movement going on in the drag scene as well. If you're like spattering blood and ink all over yourself, you have to like go dry clean it. Or I just imagine that the costs accrue in ways that even like the average person wouldn't anticipate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I took a home ec class in grade 9. So I have the basics of sewing. That being said, you want to go buy a sewing machine, it's going to be close to $200. And like taking the time to sit down and sew a piece, you have to spend the time and you have to learn how to do new things. I didn't know how to rhinestone or what kind of glue to use. You have to ask people or watch YouTube videos. And it's definitely, you learn how to be a little bit more crafty. You learn where your weaknesses are in like costume design or construction, and you just kind of have to figure things out. It's a lot of learning. Thankfully, honestly, I keep saying this, but like community here is so amazing. Like the drag community, and a lot of stuff I've learned from other drag kings, because there's not a lot of, you know, fun masculine clothes that are easily accessible to buy. You have to make sometimes your rip-off dress pants, because you know I can go and find a rip-off rhinestone skirt, but I can't find some rip-off rhinestone dress pants. Yeah, so it's been a lot of learning, and like learning through other people. Yeah, you know, I'm definitely grateful to the drag performers that have been around for a few years. They are so, so kind and like will help you. And like if you ask any other drag performer like, hey, do you have XYZ? Like the answer is either yes or no, but I can find it for you.
What was your creative outlet before you were doing drag?
Crying.
Creatively
crying. Yeah, I craft. I do rugs, like punch tufting. I paint. I am very artsy. I would say maybe my hobby was collecting art and craft supplies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would maybe use it, but mostly just like being cord. Like, oh, wow, cord.
Yeah.
Wow, look at these string. I need these buttons for something.
Did you take any sort of like formal training in art, or have you just been a self-made? person?
I went to a fine arts school grades 7 through 9, where I got to learn a lot. And then I did art classes all throughout high school. Yeah, mostly just me doing my bits.
Do you care to share your age?
How old do you think I am?
Oh, I hate this game. Ugh. I don't know, 26?
Oh my gosh! I'm gonna be 30 this August.
Congratulations.
Leo.
I'm an August 29th baby.
Oh, Virgo.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
That's okay.
I'm okay with it. Me and Beyonce, you know, we bond. That's the only thing we have in common, so.
Stop. Stop. That was so good. Best part of the podcast.
I can confidently say that was not the best part of the podcast because it has nothing to do with Ken's valuable insights into the local drag scene and vulnerability around being an artist. But I do think it reflects how silly and fun they can be and serves as one of many examples of why you should go see Ken perform, tip generously, and show your support on social media.
Welcome to the Sad Fam Club, baby. You are enough. Hey!
And that's it for this month's episode of Sadcast. Thank you so much for listening and for supporting local and emerging creatives across the city. Another audio-centric way you can show some love to BC-based artists, nonprofits, and communities is through Guilt & Co. The bar and live music venue has a digital album featuring live recordings of performances hosted there. You can buy it on their website for just $20, and all proceeds go to local charities, including the Black Therapy and Advocacy Fund. I'll leave you with one of the songs on the album by the multidisciplinary artist Tanya Aganaba. They are a force to reckon with, and I highly recommend checking out their emotional and raw blue light studio session on YouTube. Here's the live version of My Dove from Tanya's album, Something Comfortable.
When I go to bed at night, babe, I'm thinking about you. Put the lilies on the doorstep.
Sadcast is brought to you by Sad Magazine, a publication featuring stories, art, and design by local and emerging artists. Intro and interstitial music is brought to you by Comortal.